This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Jobs are still being cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Toyota, the CEO, speaks out. And later, Robert Reich talks personal savings. All that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P off about a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ flat. The Dow is off about 32 points, 99.69. European shares, however, lower right now, 1 to 2%. And Asia stocks closed lower as well, 2 to 3%. The Labor Department reports this morning the number of job cuts in January totaled 20,000. Some analysts were expecting jobs to have been created. That didn't happen. What did surprise some today was the unemployment rate, which fell to 9.7%. We're going to get some analysis of that report with Michelle Meyer. She's an economist at Barclays Capital, joining us live this morning from New York. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thank you. And what's your assessment, your just initial assessment of the report?
I think the decline in the unemployment rate is actually pretty encouraging. It shows that it likely peaked some point in the fall at 10.1%, and we do think that we should see unemployment rate trend lower, maybe in a choppy fashion, but we do think that there's a downside as the economy starts to add jobs and the recovery builds momentum.
We saw, Michelle, manufacturing employment ticked a little higher. Isn't that something we want to see, the private sector adding jobs?
That's exactly right. So the jobs number, the headline number showed a decline of 20,000 in jobs, but it was almost entirely due to a very sharp drop in construction jobs. And we know that the construction sector is still very depressed. So outside of construction, we actually saw job creation in many sectors, one of which is manufacturing, which is consistent with the increase in production
right.
The economy has been experiencing.
Thank you. Michelle Meyer, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Toyota President Akio Toyoda today apologized for the recalls of popular models. The grandson of the automaker's founder said he's unsure whether Toyota will officially recall the late model Prius for possible brake problems. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live. She's on the story from our New York bureau. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So finally, a word from Mr. Toyota. What did he have to say?
Well, he acknowledged that the company is in crisis. He apologized to Toyota's customers and tried to reassure them that the company's cars are safe. Here he is speaking at the press conference today in Nagoya.
Please believe me, we always customer first is first priority.
Now, Amy, we've had various reports about whether there's going to be another recall this time of the Prius. What's happening with that?
Well, Akio Toyoda said today that the company is still deciding that question, though there have been reports that Toyota is leaning toward another recall, this time related to braking problems in the Prius. Meanwhile, Ford says it has a software patch for similar issues in some of its hybrids. So it's not just Toyota dealing with this issue.
So it's easy to start seeing cars as the enemy here.
Right. Well, you know, one analyst I talked to, John Henke at Planning Perspectives, says it's important to keep all of this in perspective.
The amount of problems they've had relative to the millions of vehicles that they have built and put on the road is virtually nothing. The problem is, if you're that person in the vehicle that has happened, now you've got a real issue.
You know, this is obviously serious. There have been up to 19 deaths in the last decade connected with issues of unintended acceleration in Toyotas. But his point is that we don't all need to be terrified of our cars.
Marketplace's Amy Scott in New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, February 5th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Schools in rural areas are in trouble. There's a study out today from the Alliance for Excellent Education that finds more than 20% of the poorest performing high schools are in rural areas. The study concludes the problems in rural education are a national crisis. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
One in four rural high school students won't graduate. And Bob Wise, the president of the Alliance for Excellent Education, says federal policymakers aren't paying enough attention.
If you're not seen or heard every day, perhaps you're out of mind.
And without money from Washington, Wise, a former governor of West Virginia, says rural schools will fall further behind.
Because let's be honest, the federal government is about the only player that can afford to move forward. Almost every state is facing a budget shortfall and will for the next several years.
One special challenge for rural school districts, a wave of immigrants.
Rural areas that 10, 15 years ago did not have one word of foreign language spoken in them now have to offer English language learning courses.
Y says technology could help close the gap. For example, students could take language courses online once internet connections are upgraded. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Last month, Google complained of a major espionage attack that it claimed originated in China. Now there's word the company has turned to the nation's top electronic intelligence watchdog, the National Security Agency, to help foil future attacks, which might lead you to wonder whether the government will now have access to all your Google searches. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
The Washington Post quotes knowledgeable sources as saying an agreement between the company and the NSA provides for the sharing of critical information without violating Google's policies or online privacy laws. But neither the company nor the NSA are commenting officially, which worries Greg Nozheim, legal counsel at Washington Center for Democracy and Technology.
Really, we need to get some more disclosure from Google about what it has agreed to do and from the NSA about what it has agreed to do. And also, what is it that Google has said it won't share with the NSA?
Nozheim says Google has the legal authority to cooperate with the government, and he agrees sharing appropriate information could make it easier to defend against future attacks. Still, he worries that privacy safeguards remain fuzzy.
The important thing here is to draw the line so the sharing of limited attack information doesn't morph into ongoing monitoring of innocent activity.
Nozheim suggests some kind of independent oversight might be needed to prevent unwarranted snooping. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The British government has unveiled new designs for beer glasses. The aim is to make the glasses shatterproof and cut the number of injuries caused in pub fights. From London, our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Can you get me a pint of Hart, please? Yes. And 2 pints of Kronenbourg.
The Brits love their beer. They quaff 126 million pints of it a week. Sadly, the result is a large amount of drunken violence. Every year, almost 90,000 people here are injured with a beer glass. The cost in health care and policing, more than $200 million. So the government commissioned designer Matt Cottrell to come up with a shatterproof pint glass. His first solution, a coating of bioresin.
It's a clear coating on the inside of a glass which can be applied to any glass. And the benefit really is it offers containment so that when the glass breaks, as you can see here, the loose shards are held together. Those very dangerous edges aren't exposed.
He says the new model would cost about the same as the traditional pint glass and could be available within a year. Critics say there's a better way to minimise drunken violence. Deter people from drinking by taxing booze more heavily. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Hearing all this talk of federal deficits and not much room for budget savings, but former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is trying to gauge the economy by how much people are saving. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So we've been hearing a lot about Uncle Sam's budget, but what about the budgets of regular people?
Regular people are saving more and spending less. The rate of personal saving is rising. It hit 4.8% of after-tax income in December.
Now, 4.8%, that still sounds pretty low.
Well, it's all relative. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Steve, the typical household saved about 9% of its income, and then that dropped. By the 1980s, the savings rate was down to 7%, and just before the crash of 2008, it was down to around 3%.
So it's good then, Bob, that people are saving, right?
Well, it's rational for the individual person and household. So many people got clobbered over the last 2 years, either actual or threatened loss of jobs or home, piles of credit card debt, auto debt, and they decided rationally they don't ever want to go through that again. And in addition, you've got all of these baby boomers facing retirement without enough savings. Their 401ks took a licking in the downdraft. Their homes are worth far less than they assumed they'd be worth, so they've got to start saving like mad, too.
And if saving is so good, though, Bob, what's the problem?
Well, here's the problem. What's good for individuals and families is not necessarily good for the country or the economy as a whole. You see, when people save more, they obviously spend less. And if everybody's spending less, producers, that is retailers, manufacturers, service businesses, they don't have enough of a market for what they sell, which means they don't hire, they don't refill inventories, they don't expand, and the economy has a harder time getting back on its feet.
All right. So what's the answer then?
Well, if American consumers go on a savings binge, Steve, we're going to have to count on other sources of demand to pull us out of slump. For example, new corporate investments and exports.
And neither of those, though, has increased enough to fuel a recovery, have they?
No, and that is part of the problem. And it's why many economists think we still need a big federal stimulus and why the Fed has to keep short-term interest rates low for the time being.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and current University of California, Berkeley Professor of Public Policy. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, Men's Health magazine has ranked America's drunkest cities, looking at liver disease and DUI arrests, among other things. The place with the fewest number of drunks? Boston. Yeah, Boston. And the winner? Fresno. You can come up with your own punchline there. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.